Well, following Christmas in this season of Epiphany, we have been discussing the longing that leads us on a journey and how we can hear and feel and experience the call of our heart that God might place before us. Epiphany is a season to consider beginning such a search or starting such a journey. Or, as the case may be, it's also a season to consider that there might be something deeper and more meaningful than we realize happening on the journeys we are already on. Wherever we may be journeying, we are invited to consider the starting point. For if all of life is a journey, we are invited to live from the heart. Now, I found myself on a journey this week, and this wasn't a metaphorical one. This literally was a hop on the plane and go somewhere kind of a journey. I serve on a committee within the Methodist Church where we get all the folks together in the Western U.S., the bishops and some pastors and some lay people, and we look at the work of the jurisdiction and work with the bishops to see how their leadership is affecting all of us. And we had our annual meeting with the five bishops and a few of us gathered together. And so I headed to the airport, prepared to let Southwest Airlines get me to and from Las Vegas safely. Now, it seems no matter how early I check in, and I sit there with my little login ready to go, and 24 hours before my flight, I click the button as quickly as I can. No matter how quickly I push that little button, there is always a giant mass of people who board the plane before I do. I'm sure some of them pay more for that process, you know, for that privilege, or maybe they fly all the time. I don't know what makes them more special than me, but they all are. And so they all get on the plane first, and then I'm at the back end of this line, and eventually they call my little number, and I hop onto the plane, and then there's this dance that goes on in the plane. Without the assigned seats, people are all there, and you can watch. You can watch how with less and less space showing up, people begin this little charade. You see, I watch people try to avoid eye contact, hoping you won't ask them if you can sit in their row. And of course, they've also then taken their extra carry-ons and set them in the seats next to them so it looks like there's other people, so you won't sit there. They're trying to sort of put this no vacancy feel around themselves. And then over and over throughout the plane, you hear this very simple phrase followed by a very distinctive sound. Once the plane is about half full, you continue to hear, "Is that seat available?" Followed by, "Yes." You can just hear the sighs over and over and over and over as people move their stuff, get out of the row, and let people in and sit back down. What I witnessed over and over were people were making space for everyone that needed it, but that was about it. They were just making space. What I did not see was any kind of heartfelt welcome. "Please, come sit next to me." You didn't see a lot of that. You see, there is very much a difference between just making space for someone and welcoming someone from the heart. There's a difference here. And that difference I will call hospitality. Hospitality is what happens when we welcome others from a place of love and service instead of just making space. I was thinking through the many examples of what this is, of what it looks like to see hospitality in action. And actually being in this place, serving here at Highlands United Methodist Church, there are many of those. I am so grateful for the smiling faces we have that greet people each week. The hugs that are shared, the conversations, there are some beautiful examples of hospitality. I think about gatherings at people's homes who are so quickly to say, "I'll have folks over," and what that means. No sighs, no grumbling, just invitation. And as I was considering all these contemporary examples, my mind also went to some biblical examples. Surprise, surprise, it happens. And I was going through, and the story that struck me, that it's one of my favorites from the book of Genesis, is the story of Abraham. And it shows up in the 18th chapter. "Now the Lord appeared to Abraham at the oaks of Mamre while he sat at the entrance of his tent in the day's heat. Abraham looked up and suddenly saw three men standing near him. As soon as he saw these men, he ran from his tent to greet them and bowed deeply and said, 'Sirs, if you would be so kind, don't just pass me by. Let a little water be brought so you may wash your feet and refresh yourselves under the tree. Let me offer you a little bread so you'll feel stronger. And after that, you may leave your servant and go on your way, since you have visited and been welcomed here.' And they responded, 'Fine, do just as you have said.' So Abraham hurried to Sarah, his wife, at the tent, and he said, "Hurry, knead the finest flour and make some baked goods." And then Abraham rammed the cattle, and he took a young calf, gave it to a servant who prepared it quickly. Then Abraham took butter and milk and the calf that had been prepared, and he put the food out in front of the guests and stood under the tree near them as they ate. You see, our scripture today is truly a story of hospitality. There was no sigh-laden making of space. "Oh, look, company. Okay, here, have a mint." In fact, the hospitality in this scripture was so grand, the people in question, people Abraham had never met, didn't even get to ask for anything. It wasn't they didn't have to ask. They didn't even get the chance. He was offering before they could even say, "Hey, we wondered if..." Now, as we talk about the hospitality of the scripture, I do want to make sure to acknowledge there are some layers here that can easily be glossed over. Abraham certainly is gracious. He extends the best of what he was able to offer these people. The finest calf, the best of the flour for the baked goods. He wanted to offer them everything. And he did. But we must not forget that it was Sarah, his wife, and the servants who actually did all of the work. Abraham made the offer, and he put some of the stuff on the table. "Oh, look, I'll put the butter out, sure." But Sarah and the servants did the work of hospitality in this scripture. The legwork to make sure what was offered would be provided. So let's stop here and make sure to visit that fact, that hospitality is not just making grand offers to people. It's about the inner and outer work of truly welcoming people by following through on what's offered. This story without Sarah and the servants would not be what it is. Just as the story without Abraham's offer wouldn't be either. These two have to go hand in hand, the gracious beginning and the gracious follow through. This is very important here at Highlands United Methodist Church because we've set the bar pretty high with our welcome statement. It's in our bulletin every week. Have you read it recently? Highlands United Methodist Church embraces Jesus' message that God loves and accepts every person. And so our welcome knows no boundaries. In the name and spirit of Jesus, we welcome people of every age, race, ethnicity, culture, gender identity, sexual orientation, marital status, physical or mental ability, and economic condition into full participation in the life and leadership of our congregation. Wow. It's a pretty grand gesture. I mean, that's Abraham running all over the place. "Hey, you and you and you, come on." And here we are. Here we are. You see, our statement of welcome is an Abrahamic gesture of invitation and hospitality, but to bring it into reality, to live it from the heart of what it means, each of us is called to be like Sarah. Actively doing the work to make sure that promise is not empty. That really is, I think, one of Christianity and religion's biggest dangers, that we make these grand statements and then don't back them up. That's one of the reasons I've enjoyed this theme of living from the heart, because it calls us to bring an integrity to each and every day of our lives. It's in stark contrast to the emptiness of living from the mouth, where we're quick to make statements and that's about it. We must live hospitality from the heart of who we are, and that really takes strong motivation. You see, Abraham extends this gracious offer, this extravagant hospitality, to these three visitors that they might be refreshed and revived. Now, what we know, being the readers of this story, that Abraham did not know, is that these three guests were divine beings. They were messengers who appeared on behalf of God. This invites us to consider what hospitality can be about. Because though Abraham didn't know to whom he was offering hospitality, we do. Now, I tell you, this week as I discussed this theme of hospitality with a colleague from Oregon, she told me a story that she knows from a friend who's a Benedictine monk. Now, the Benedictine monks have their monasteries, and people come and go. And Laura shared this story with me that Benedictine monasteries have always had this open door policy for those who visit. They are offered a place to stay. They're welcomed to the table, they're offered shelter, and they are welcome to be a part of the community while they want to be there and then are able to go about their way. In general, guests typically offer some kind of donation or say, well, then let me help with the work of the monastery so that I can contribute and offer back. And it's this beautiful relationship. But it is a choice, and there is no requirement of what is offered. There's not one of those little things posted on the door that says the room rates. And, you know, so sometimes, every once in a while, there are guests who come and they receive the blessings of food and shelter and community, and then they leave without offering anything in return. And strangely enough, it's those folks who have the habit of coming back the most often. And she told me a story of a Benedictine elder, a monk who had served for years at such a monastery, reflecting on the challenge that offered. Because these same people would show up over and over again, and the eldest monk in the monastery was always the one to open the door and greet people. And he said, it is so hard because inside me, I open the door, I see them, and I want to say, Christ, it's you. And he said, I know, I'm quoting a monk, so I'm allowed to say that in church. You know, he says, this is my reaction. I open the door and I just think, Christ, it's you. And he says, the challenge and the call that God's grace offers me is that I can open the door every time and no matter who is there, my response is, it's you, Christ. To see each person as God present, no matter what, no matter the history, no matter the assumptions, that they might see Christ at their door. To those in the monasteries, that challenge is to grow into that. And likewise, one of the lessons that we find in the Abraham story is that hospitality should be offered to all people because God appears in every person. This is the reality that should drive our love and care and welcome of every person. And that welcome is something that should go with us in this world. When I talk about hospitality, I'm not just speaking about how guests should be treated here in our church building. That's one part, but doors work both ways. See, back when the Methodist Church started using the open hearts, open minds, open doors slogan, we as a church had to confront a very powerful reality. Doors go both ways. Our doors are open for all people to enter in. And when people walk through them, it is our call to greet them with love and care and hospitality exactly as they are and see the face of Christ on them. But as you will experience in just a little bit, our doors are also open for each one of us to go back out into the world. And when we do, when we leave this place, it is still our call to greet every person with love, care, and hospitality each and every day where we find ourselves. So hear the invitation to live a life of hospitality, that the gracious, loving welcome of God's love is for all people, to be shared by all people, wherever we find ourselves. It's you, Christ. Amen.